I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
7:44, 16 till 7, Tommy Tucker, WWL, a delightful fall morning in the area. The average of temperatures are about 53 degrees, not going to get to 70 until about 2 o'clock this afternoon, so get out and enjoy it while you can. Shelby McRae joins us now, specialist in pulmonary and critical care medicine at LSU Health New Orleans. I presume that's Shelby McRae, MD.
Yes, I'm a physician.
I know, I'm just kidding. How you doing, Doc?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm okay. Let's talk about teens and smoking and vaping and nicotine. The first thing I guess we should do is make it clear that there's really no difference between vaping and smoking as far as the body is concerned, or is one worse than the other?
You know, vaping has been around, obviously, for a lot less time than cigarettes. So some of that is still an unanswered question. I would say that there are a lot of similarities, a few differences. Of course, some of the long-term effects of vaping are still unknown because no one's been vaping for 30 years, whereas there's people who have been smoking for 30, 40, 50 years. But certainly they both can be extremely harmful, especially when started at a young age.
Doctor, I got to say this, and I went through it personally with my dad, who went and served in World War II at the age of 16, got hooked on cigarettes, died of COPD and emphysema, and he spent the last week of his life throwing up blood. And the only reason I say that, not trying to gross anybody out, but sometimes smokers say, well, something's got to kill me anyway, and they think it's going to be like a lightning bolt, and it's not. Talk about the effects of smoking on the body long term, please.
I totally agree with you, Tommy. You know, I think everyone knows, yes, lung cancer is a risk, which absolutely is a big risk factor with smoking. But smoking affects all parts of the body as well. So not just an increased risk of lung cancer, but lots of other cancers, mouth and throat cancer, bladder cancer, stomach cancer, cervical cancer. And then it can also affect, of course, heart disease. You know, the number one killer in the United States is heart disease, and that's significantly increased risk with smoking as well as strokes. But as a pulmonologist, you know, I take care of a lot of people with COPD and emphysema, and you're exactly right. It is a rough disease. People end up very thin, very frail, very short of breath, and it can be a really awful way to die. And I think it's important to realize that it's not just, oh, if I smoke, maybe I'll get lung cancer. That is real, and that is a huge issue, but there's so many other ways that it affects the body as well.
And look, I'm not blaming my dad for anything at all, but not only is it hard on the patient, it is extremely hard on the family to watch you suffer like that. So if you care about your family, I suggest you quit. Doc, when it comes to nicotine and the effect on the body, this is without doubt an addictive drug, and these are, be it legal or not, drug dealers that are trying to get their clients hooked. Is that a misstatement or an exaggeration?
I think that that's a fair comparison. There's no benefit to it, but it makes a lot of money for people who sell it. So nicotine is extremely addictive. It very quickly is absorbed into the body. It reaches the brain within seconds of taking it, and it plays into that same reward pathway that other addictive substances like cocaine, like heroin, play into. And so targeting teens and young adults and children with these, which we all know that these companies do target, is absolutely just a way of getting teens addicted early and then continuing them as consumers who are going to provide money for years and years. And teens are looking for that reward pathway in different ways. So this is just targeting it from a way that's legalish.
So if somebody is listening right now, they're a young adult, teen, whatever, maybe 35, 40, talk, if you will, about the importance of quitting whenever it is that you quit And what your body's likely to look like or react to or be. And look, there are anomalies. There are people that smoke cigarettes every day and live to be 100. There are people that, you know, get hit by lightning and survive. But that's not the mainstream. So I guess what I'm asking you, Doc, is just explain to people what they're looking forward to or not looking forward to, but what their body's likely to be like years from now if they continue to smoke or vape.
Yes, I think mentioning family support is so important, and I think it's important for parents of teens to know that you might not know if your children are doing this. It is very easy to conceal vaping. Of course, the most important thing is to prevent, so I think education is so important to prevent starting in the first place. But if people are already smoking or vaping and their families are looking for ways to support them, of course, number one is not to be judgmental. This isn't a character flaw. This is extremely addictive. It's extremely hard to quit. But to your question of how it affects the body, the longer you smoke, the more the effects of it are. And there's a lot of variation in how different people's bodies react to cigarettes. Some people, like you said, can smoke to 100 and be fine. Some people smoke for a few days and a few years and have a lot of effects. So it's hard to know exactly how your body will be affected, but the longer you smoke, the more effects there will be. That's inevitable.
Generally speaking, as a pulmonologist, I guess that's right, correct, right? Pulmonologist?
Yes.
Yeah.
Lung doctor.
Huh?
Lung doctor, if that's easier.
Lung doctor, okay. But I know because I dealt with my dad. But I just want you to talk about the effects that it has on the body and what they can look forward to, and I say that in quotation marks, feeling like in terms of lung function, et cetera, because you deal with it almost like, you know, I hate to break it down like this, like a mechanic with a car, what you're doing to your carburetor, but you can talk about what you're doing to the internal combustion engine that is your body when we come back. Shelby McRae, MD, a lung doctor, specialist in pulmonary and critical care medicine at LSU Health New Orleans. Not trying to scare you, but I know what my dad went through, and I'm trying to keep everybody healthy and happy. 7:50, 10 till 8, traffic now, WWL. 7:56 and a half, Tommy Tucker, WWL. Quickly back to Shelby McRae, MD, a lung doctor. Doctor, I asked you a bunch of questions, but I want you to get some texts here, if I can, real quick. Somebody says, if you started smoking in your teens, you're now 60. Is it too late to try and quit, and will your body benefit from quitting now?
Absolutely. It is not too late. It's never too late. And there are tools that we as physicians can help to quit smoking. And there are absolutely benefits. If we're just thinking about the lungs, even from that standpoint, the longer you smoke, the faster you are worsening your lung function. And as soon as you stop smoking, you're not going to get back that lung function that you lost, but you're going to slow that worsening to just a normal rate. Everyone's lungs get a little bit worse as they get older, but that's accelerated and goes faster when you're a smoker. So it's not too late. And there are definitely benefits to quitting now. And the longer you stay quit, then your cancer risk goes down as well.
This is an interesting question. Please ask the doctor why orthopedic surgeons encourage patients to quit smoking before having a surgery.
Great question. So cigarette smoking especially impairs wound healing. So before any surgery, of course, if it's an emergency surgery, we have to do surgery on people whether they're smoking or not. But if it's a planned surgery or an elective surgery, you're going to have a harder time healing if you are a cigarette smoker. And so for big surgeries like orthopedic surgeries, which are usually pretty big surgeries, if you can quit smoking beforehand, then you're healing time from that surgery is going to be lower.
Doctor, you're going to have to come back because we never have enough time for this. But one thing I want to talk about, a thing out of Johns Hopkins University, because, you know, I am a very well-read guy, about these Cool Mint nicotine pouches that they're selling now. I guess it's legal. I don't know. Tell me about them. And Zyn is the name of it. Thank you, Tim Zimmer.
Yeah, I think it's different ways of kind of concealing nicotine. So these pouches are very discreet ways to have it. I think the risk there is, are we marketing nicotine as a way to quit smoking or vaping and to use nicotine as a tool to help people stop the addictive, you know, smoking, vaping, and then wear off of it? Or are we just marketing this as another way to get teens addicted to nicotine early on and then start buying other ways as well?
I would love
a slippery slope, I think.
I would love to pick it up here when we come back. Doctor, thank you. Very helpful, very informative. I'm very passionate about this after what I went through with my dad. And if I can prevent somebody else from, and you see it every day in your practice, if I can prevent somebody else from living that life or dying that death, actually, we got to do it. Thank you, Doctor.
Thank you.
Have a good day. Dr. Shelby McCray, a lung doctor from LSU Health New Orleans. We come back, we're talking to Mike Dettelier. Saints taking on Sean Payton and the Broncos tonight. Action here on WWL.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events. Major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories. The unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.